name is Pam G from the great state of Georgia. I'm a compulsive overeater and so grateful to be here. Before we get started, I would like to say a little quick prayer, asking for peace and guidance. God, allow me to be your messenger as I relive the past and think about the future. I'm grateful to you for all you've done for me in all aspects of my life. Amen. I don't know. I like to talk, and so a lot of it is just going to be as if we're sitting in your living room talking about things. And what I'm going to do is I want to talk about how it started, where it was, and where it is now. How it started as I was in a home with an alcoholic father and a teetotaler mother. And our family, our extended family, was a great mixture of fun and gatherings, all centered around food, food and alcohol. And so when we would go to these many, numerous gatherings, the food was delicious. I'm from the South. Oh my goodness, the food was delicious. But the grown-ups didn't want the kids hanging around. We could eat, but we were supposed to go off and play and not bother them because of their partying. And so I remember that I felt kind of shy as a child, and I just felt different. And I remember everybody else would play with everybody, and it seemed like I was always left out of the loop. And then one time my cousin asked me, he said, "Pam, do you want to play?" And I said, "Sure." He said, "Well, we're going to play hide and seek." I said, "Okay." So I followed him. Unfortunately, it wasn't a game of hide and seek. It began years of molestation. I was so embarrassed because it was my fault. There was something wrong with me. Nobody loved me. Speak a lot of negative to yourself, Pam. And then I thought, well, if anybody finds out, they're going to blame me and I'm going to be in trouble. But what I did find that there was an escape from those feelings, and that came in the form of food. In my home, we had three meals a day. We, as a family, we would sit down. There was a lot of arguing and bickering going on. We would sit down and have our meals, and it would be fun. We would laugh and joke. And so I associated food with love and fun. As I got older and I started getting some of the real cynical comments, inappropriate comments during these family gatherings. I mean, it was like a gauntlet of terrorism having to walk around these adults as a young preteen and teen. I developed body image problems. And so I decided that I was going to diet. And really, I wasn't that big. I mean, I was a healthy girl. I started taking diet pills at the age of 15. And I'm talking about serious diet pills of the 60s and 70s. And I went from there, I would lose the weight, about lose my mind. But what would happen when I would lose the weight? Go right back to eating, gain it back. I did this throughout my life. I tried everything under the sun, diet pills, shots, weight loss clinic, shakes, the little caramels you used to eat, the cookies you used to eat, you name it, I tried it. I think the only thing I didn't do was have my ears stapled. I did have gastric bypass in 2001, and by that time I had reached 360 pounds working full time and literally having to respond to emergencies because of my work. I would be about on the floor by the time I'd get there. I couldn't do anything. I would just be sweating profusely. And I just knew I was going to die, but it didn't stop me eating. I moved forward. I went through some unsuccessful marriages. I had two children, continued this tremendous up and down, yo-yo dieting, starving myself. I mean, starving myself to where some days I would just be too sick to even go into work. But on the other hand, I'd also eat myself to death where I didn't want to leave the house to go to work because I didn't want to be that far away from my refrigerator from something to eat. I was continuing to, I mean, years. This was my life, up and down, up and down, up and down. Gastric bypass, I lost 200 pounds. Over the years, I gained 100 of it back. And that 100 is what I've been yo-yoing with all this time since 2000 and probably four. Well, I had joined a program. It was a pay and weigh because this person just guaranteed me it was going to work. Just knew it was going to work. And it was the most complex thing I'd ever seen in my entirety of my life. You'd have to be a scientist to figure out how to do all these things they expect you to do. And I ran into a lady and she said to me that she was going to OA and I'd never heard of it. And so she gave me the information. I went to a meeting and I listened and I liked what I heard. And so immediately I called her back. Will you be my sponsor? Will you send me that list of foods that I can eat so I can lose all the weight like everybody else is doing? And she just kind of laughed at me. She said, "That's not the way it works, Sam, but we'll work on it." And so thus the journey began. Everything went along really well, relatively well. I mean, I had some the road is bumpy. The path of recovery is very bumpy. And I detoured and I hit a few walls and I fell down, but I got right back up and kept going. About a year ago, I've been in OA 4 years. About a year ago, I had a medical emergency, a very serious medical emergency, and the outcome was a stroke with about 5 months of hospitalization, paralyzation, paralysis, all these things, and I'm bipolar. You cannot believe the depth of depression I went into. Nothing mattered. Breathing didn't matter. But I tell you what, my OA friends stuck with me. They called me. I remember I've told this story before. One OA friend, she called me when I was in the rehab hospital. And she told me that when she finally found out where I was, she would have called every hospital in Florida to talk to me to find out where I was. And to see what she could do. And she lives up north. But I mean that's the fellowship. That's the love and support and understanding and encouragement you get if you stick to it. Now I've recovered. I figure I'm doing relatively well. I still have struggles. I've lost a lot, gained some weight, but it'll come off. It's all gonna work out because I know in my heart, that these steps work. The steps, the traditions, and the principles, they're the perfect combination. The perfect combination. And they're free. We don't even have to pay for it. I mean, you go to a lot of places, you'll spend hundreds and sometimes thousands of dollars, but we get it for free. We just have to put in the effort. And when it says, painstaking. I don't like pain. I'll do everything in my everything possible to keep from being in pain. And I'm talking about emotional pain because I feel like I do have the double whammy with the bipolar and the compulsive eating. But I'm learning techniques through the program, through what other people are teaching me, through other people's presence in these rooms. They don't give up. You don't give up. You keep going. There's so much importance to that. Reliving the past and thinking about it can be really hard. I used to say that I used to be a victim. And then I became a survivor.
10 minutes.
Thank you so much, Lord. But now my goal is to be a thriver. I want to balance out as best I can. I want to enjoy life for the first time ever in my life. I don't worry about what other people think of me. I don't worry about, oh my gosh, I can't wear that. I can't possibly wear that because it makes me look too big. You would not believe this. I can, and this is something that I always think is really funny. I can go back. I'm 70 years old. I can go back 60 years, and I might not tell you who all was there at a gathering, but I can tell you what I ate throughout my life. Food was that important to me. I mean, that's all there was. That was that love I was looking for. And it wasn't until I came into this program, and because quite honestly, I thought I had a great relationship with God. I didn't even think I needed to read chapter 4 in the big book because, it didn't apply to me. But I did. I read it. I read the big book cover to cover, and I'll continue to read it, and I'll continue to seek guidance from it. But I did not have the relationship with God, who is my higher power, that I do now. I mean, it is just, I don't want to say spread like wildfire, but it has just embraced me and embraced my heart and my soul and my very being. It softened my heart. It has given me peace and serenity on my darkest days. And I promise you, when I was laying in that bed paralyzed, not knowing if I was going to ever walk again, and had lost everything, I would just cry out to God. Just, I mean, I'm talking about crying out to him, help me, help me, help me, help me. And I just kept getting this thought process, this spirit process, just wait, just wait. And I'm not a patient person. But every time I would get at my, I mean, lowest point to where I wanted to take pills and end my life because I had nothing. I would hear this little voice inside me say, just wait, just wait. I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad that I have been shown things through and by other people, through the big book, and just through my very existence on this planet, that we can face anything put before us, anything, if we just allow ourselves to be accessible and allow ourselves to believe that we are not the greatest thing alive. We are not God. Thank goodness I'm not God because we'd all be in trouble. But I feel like that when we come into these, when I come, I don't want to say we because I want to speak for myself, but when I come into these meetings, when I first came back, I couldn't even show myself on camera. I cried the whole time in the background, cried tears. My life was over. I would never get this back. I would never be able to talk about, OA was in my past. Everything was in my past. There was no future. And that is a horrible place to live. Horrible place to live. But I had people that absolutely would not give up on me. I had a few family members that allowed me to come into their home and rehab. I had the only friends I've really got, to be honest with you, are my OA friends. They're the ones that kept calling me, they're the ones that kept texting me, reaching out to me. And I just can tell you right now, to me, that's the absolute glue that has held my life together. And when they say, that reach out, call somebody, don't be scared to call anybody, don't be scared to text anybody. For when my sponsor told me to call three people a day, I thought she'd done lost her mind. I couldn't call three people a day. What if they didn't want to talk to me? I didn't know what to say. Now, listening to me right now, can you imagine me saying I didn't know what to say? But I did it. And as I did it, I got more comfortable. And then it just became like these people were my anchors in the storm when the winds would be raging around me, when the storm would be coming and brewing, and I didn't know how I was going to get through it. I would just pray and I'd say, God, I know you can't take this away from me. I've got to go through it, but help me to the other side. And I feel like it's the same way with my friends. You can't live it for me. You can't experience it for me. But I am so grateful that I have people who are honest, trustworthy, loving, kind, all the adjectives you can think of that are positive in my life. And to the newcomers, I just want to say, sometimes when I came in, it was all about the weight. I just wanted to lose weight. That's all I cared about. All this other stuff about abstinence, I didn't understand it. I made a list of red foods and I stayed away from them. And I lost a little bit of weight. But I don't know what I got into like a pink cloud. I'm sure you've heard of what the pink cloud is. And I just, listen, I was like Aladdin on that rug. I was all over the place, that pink cloud, thinking things were just going to be wonderful. And then hit a wall and things weren't wonderful anymore. But just because you hit a wall, just because you stumble, we're on a path to recovery, y'all. Just because you stumble, maybe you go on a detour for a year or two. Please come back. This is the truth and this is the way.
3 minutes.
Thank you so much, Lori. Thanks for doing the timing. I just cannot tell you enough how much I love each and every one of you. If this is your first time meeting me, I love you. I love you. And I am so grateful that you're here. You are home. You are in a place where you are going to be supported and loved unconditionally. There's nothing that you can't say in these rooms. Nothing that you can't say because we love you, we care for you, and we are here for you. OA is the best thing that ever happened to me. And I can only say that right now, I still have my peaks and valleys. I still have problems. I still have struggles with food, but that's okay. I get right back up, trip, stumble, fall, hit a wall, detour. I get right back up and I go on that path because I believe waiting at the end of that road is going to be the person God wants me to be. Call me. I love to talk to you. Anytime, if you need something, call me. You're my tribe. You are my family. And I sincerely mean that. And I'm going to cut it a little bit short, but bless you so much, and I'm just so grateful I got this time to talk to you.